title of the message for today is I Am Sending You. And I love to talk about this topic. This topic changed my life. When I graduated from college and on my way to dental school, I got into dental school, which was my goal, I suppose, all throughout my life. And just around that time, this topic changed my life, actually. Okay, I took a walk with my wife to Jones Beach. I don't know whether you guys know. There's a long boardwalk walk, and it's really, really nice. And I love going there. Just see the ocean. And the reason I do that is because the verse that changed my life, it was just a verse. And the verse is not likely placed from the Gospels or New Testament, but it's from Habakkuk. Okay, and the verse is, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." Let me repeat that, for some of you do not know this verse. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It takes a little bit of picturing. If you could picture Jones Beach, Atlantic Ocean, how many gallons of water is that? Right? Like millions and billions of gallons, right? And basically, Bible declares that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. In other words, nothing will matter at the end. End of all thing is His glory, as the waters cover the sea. And it was my young, I guess, fired up heart for future my life. I was just so, I felt on top of my world, okay? But when Lord called me, when I went to France, and this person named George Vower, he's the president of, the leader of the Operation Mobilization, and he is crazy. I mean, like, he wears Wrangler's jean jacket with a globe on his back, and he runs around, and he preaches. And this is the statement that he changed my life. The statement was, "Our God is a missionary God. Our God is a missionary God." Is that the God you believe? Okay. When Jesus said, "I am sending you," when someone or like somebody say, "I'm sending you," to be sent by someone means you have a purpose. You have a mission that has been given and entrusted to you. That's what it means, right? So today when the resurrected King of Kings, if that's what you believe, because that's what the scripture says, resurrected King of Kings who just conquered sin and death, and he's telling his disciples, "I am sending you." How many of you are disciples of Christ? Would you say amen? What does that mean? You follow with your life, right? You follow with your life. Christianity cannot be less than that, right? It cannot be less than that. So when he said, "I am sending you to be his to his disciples," the resurrected King of Kings has given you and entrusted to you a purpose in life. And it's a single purpose. It's not like choice of purposes, you choose. I don't think that's what lordship is. I don't think that's what gospel is. Our God is a missionary sending God, okay? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave, he sent his only son." That's the master statement. Apart from that, there is no Christianity. There is nothing, right? For God so loved the world, he sent his son. And the word sent in Latin is mission, missio. So that's why we say our God is a missionary God. Is that what you believe? Okay? That as an introduction, I want all of us to go to the first Resurrection Sunday evening. Okay, that's where we are in John chapter 20. It was the first Easter Sunday evening when Jesus appeared before the 10 disciples. Right? Resurrected Christ. And they were so fearful. They locked the doors. And they were so fearful of the Jews, and they were so fearful of the world. They locked the doors, and they were just so afraid. Sounds like a picture of so many churches and so many Christians, doesn't it? You know, as of this Friday, past Friday, New York State has freed a state emergency from COVID. And I want to ask you, you as a Christian, we just went through a historic pandemic. Nobody has seen it. Nobody who's alive on face of the earth right now has seen something like past a 16 month of pandemic. Nobody has seen it. Could that be separated from the plan of God, do you think? Right? If you believe Jesus, God is sovereign, and he's handling the history. We just came out of that, or coming out of that, and where is your heart? So many churches lock up their doors, so afraid to meet, so afraid to go out into the world. Okay? So they locked up the door because they were fearful of the Jews, and, you know, they just killed their master. There, Jesus, the resurrected King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who just conquered sin and death, appeared and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you. Shalom." Okay? And, you know, disciples must have been so afraid. In fact, if you look at the parallel account in Luke chapter 24, they thought he was a ghost, okay, a spirit. So Jesus showed his hands, check this out, nail marks, and his side, the spear mark. And they realized this is really Jesus who was on the cross and resurrected. Can you imagine the response of the disciples? Disciples were astonished and joyful. Imagine the joy. Are you joyful, by the way, Christians, today? You know, I asked this question in Korean service, and I want to ask you, how many of you are joyful because of Jesus? I really mean it. How many of you are joyful because of Jesus? Would you say amen? No, I'm serious. I ask this question all the time. Hey, elder, you, I ask elders. I ask pastors. I ask Bible study leaders. Okay? Can you imagine the joy? They were astonished and they were so joyful. And their mourning really was turned into joy, just as Jesus said it would 3 days ago. By the way, this was the fifth appearance of resurrected Jesus. On that day, historic day, five times. First, he appeared before Mary Magdalene, and then to the ladies, and then to Peter, and then to disciples on the way to Emmaus, and then 10 disciples on this first Easter Sunday evening. Just that day, there are over 15 people eyewitnessed resurrected Christ. You know, we've been talking about this. Resurrection of Jesus Christ is not a fiction. It's a documented historic event. Okay? I don't know whether you knew. I don't know whether you have established that in your heart. We are not believing in fiction. We are believing in historically documented events. That evening of that historic day, Jesus appeared before the disciples. And next three verses, which we're going to look at it in a moment, really sums up what Christianity is. Whether you are living as a Christian, whether you desire to live as a Christian, or am I being totally kind of like misunderstanding it, okay? And it'll be namely peace, and then purpose, and then power. Yeah, I'll explain that after we look at the text. It was the first Easter Sunday evening. Would you go there with me? Okay? On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors were being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, Shalom, peace be with you. Okay? When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Now, the most important verses of Christian faith, I believe. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Okay, that's the disciples. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any and they are forgiven them, if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Okay, verse 21, 22, 23, peace and your mission, if you're a Christian, of the church as well, or the purpose, and then lastly, the power and authority. Okay, so that's what I want to talk about today. That's the plan. Let's talk about peace. Okay, it was the first thing that resurrected Jesus said to the disciples, peace be with you. How many of you have peace with God? What do you mean, right? So, in fact, he said this twice to clearly for us to feel the emphasis. And Jesus said to them, peace be with you. And I don't think it was the usual greeting of shalom, of a Jewish saying of hello. But Jesus, who just conquered sin and death, right? The King of kings and divine is basically declaring to the disciples, peace be with you. That's what's going on here, okay? In John chapter 14, 3 days ago, Jesus actually promised to them, I'm going to bring peace, right? My peace I leave unto you. And it's the peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you, and let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away, but I will come back to you. So it was a promised peace that was given to the disciples through his death and the cross. Only through the cross bequeathed this peace to the disciples and to the believers. Okay? What is that peace about? You know what that peace is about? The peace, we see it in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's what the peace is about. Bible clearly says if you are not in Christ, you are not at peace with God. You're in enmity with God. You're an enemy of God. God is your enemy. That is not my statement. That's what the scripture teaches. You're an enemy of God. You know, what resurrection has accomplished is not a superficial thing. You feel guilty. Guilty conscience. No, I don't. Yes, you do, actually. Bible clearly says we feel guilty. When we sin, we feel deeply guilty. How do you know that? You're fearful. I'm not fearful. Yes, you are. Right? How do you know you're fearful? Because you're fearful because of the people. You're so afraid that people may find out about you. Deep inside, just feeling guilty, fearful, and shame. You know, these are not some psychologized stuff that I'm sharing with you. But this is straight from Genesis chapter 3. When sin first came into the world, do you remember what happened? They were so fearful they began to hide. Adam and Eve. And we feel fearful. And we feel ashamed because of your guilty conscience. And that's not something that you cannot handle. Can I just ask you, how many of you feel fearful that people may find out really about you deep inside? Why do you think people are being non-transparent? You know, sin makes you a non-transparent person. When you meet someone who is violating so many lives sexually, You could tell from their eyes. They cannot be transparent. Okay. You may want to take him to Sunday school. Yeah. It's okay. What resurrection has accomplished is not a superficial thing. It's a personal thing. Have you settled, and do you have true freedom in your heart in terms of like your guilty conscience? Do you know why you feel guilty? Bible is very clear on that. You feel guilty because of the judgment. Deep inside, you know that sin will cost and there's going to be a punishment. Deep inside. That's the scriptural teaching, right? The fear has to do with punishment and the judgment. We feel ashamed, therefore we hide and we try to cover up. We do that with our spouses. Doesn't, you know, just because you live with someone for 20, 30 years doesn't mean you are totally transparent with a person at all, actually. In fact, we live in this private, dark world without true freedom of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are the powerful consequences or the outcome or symptoms of man's greatest problem. You know what that is? Man's greatest problem is not COVID. It's sin, people. It's sin. Sin destroys everything. It destroys every relationship. Remember on Father's Day last week, we talked about sin destroy every relationship. Every existing relationship, and the greatest destroyer of the relationship with Father God. Can you picture that? Without that, you could love someone. You could love your own parents, love your own father. We talked about this last week. Okay. What did Jesus do, accomplish through the resurrection? It's no small thing. Jesus' death and atonement met God's justice. Now, that's a hard word. God's justice, God's demand, right? And propitiate it and satisfy his wrath of sin that has been met. And only through Jesus Christ. Therefore, now we have peace. It's no small thing, people. You could never accomplish it. I could never accomplish it. It has to be God, man who is holy, taking your place. Propitiate, taking on the wrath and judgment of God on your behalf. Otherwise, there is no way you're going to have peace. But Jesus, who just went to the cross, came back from the cross, resurrected, and he validated your justification if you believe in Jesus, and he proved that he is a deity, and basically saying, you now have peace. Can I just ask you, do you have peace with God? I'm serious, people. I'm serious. As a shepherd and as a minister of God's word, I want to just, you know, forget all the cover-ups and ask you that question. Are you at peace with God? Okay? That blood and that death and resurrection removes the guilty conscience and gives you true freedom, okay, and confidence, so that you will be able to live in confidence before God, only through what Christ has done. Not your work, not your accomplishment, not your degree, and so that you could be real to other people, real to people, transparent, and you do not have to be fearful about other people's opinion and judgment and try to hide, cover up, but be real. Isn't that what Christianity is about? What resurrection has accomplished is no superficial thing. Okay? Now that we have such relationship and status as his people and children, and Christ, resurrected Christ, gives commission to his disciples. If you are in Christ, and this is the commission or the mission or the purpose that he gives you, okay? Peace be with you. Listen, just as Father has sent me, I am sending you. That's it. That's a huge statement. That's the statement I love to talk about. That's the statement that changed my personal life. By the way, this verse is this particular verse is the Johannine version of the Great Commission, what is known as the Great Commission. This is the commission of God. This is the mission of God, and this is the purpose of God that he's speaking to the church and to Christians. Can we look at that statement carefully? Peace be with you, verse 21. Just as, I'm adding just, okay? Just as the Father has sent me, comma, even so I am sending you. And the word just as, kathos in Greek, it's a huge word. That's a Johannine language. Just as Father is in me and I'm in the Father, you are in me is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just as Father is in me is the truth, unchanging, immutable truth. And the gospel truth is, just as Father is in me, if you put your faith in me, you will be in me. And they are just as, equal. Huge statement, isn't it? Father has sent me is the master statement or the story of Christianity. Do you agree? If you take that out, there's nothing. There's no reason for you to be sitting here with a mask on. It's warm in here. You should go watch a Nets game or something. Are they done? I don't know what happened to them. Right? Father has sent me is the master statement, story of the gospel, John's gospel, or the entire Christianity. For God so loved the world, God sent his son, God gave his son. Not only it is the master statement of the story, listen, consider this statement. Can you consider the weight? Can you consider the significance? Can you consider the emphasis of this statement? Father has sent me just as I am sending you. That's Christianity. What could be the purpose of Father sending his son? What could be possibly compared to this act of God, sovereign God, sending his son just to die for people? Can that be compared to anything? What can be compared to this event of history or this truth? But here Jesus is saying, just as Father has sent me, I am sending you. And I pray that you're hearing what God is speaking to us. Okay. In other words, the purpose or the mission of the followers of Jesus Christ, if you are a true disciple of Christ, is just as. Kathos, same as. Same intensity and significance. Same totality. In weight, in significance, as that of Jesus being sent by God. Now, reason with me, people. Am I making too much out of this statement? This is known as the Great Commission. This is the crux of Christianity. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you, just as Father has sent me. I am sending you. I'm sending you. Right? Could you consider this big picture of Jesus' purpose and mission on earth? Just for a moment. Was Jesus' coming, or was it to enjoy life here on earth and gather more assets and toys? Is that why Jesus came? Father sent his son? To gather more assets and toys. Was it to gain more admiration of the people and fame? Oh, people love me. People accept me. Was it the admiration of the people or popularity? He actually wasn't very popular. He was persecuted by so many, you know, religious people at the time. Most people rejected him. Was it to gain more degrees or accomplishment here on earth? Is that why Father sent his son into this world? And the answer is no. None of those, but it is solely to carry out Father's heart and Father's plan to make salvation of the lost possible, isn't it? Isn't it? Do you agree that's the main purpose, right? Possible to those who are lost in the powerful misery of sin, who are on their way to eternal destruction. Isn't that what Christianity is? Isn't that what the Bible says? That was the mission, people. That was the commission. Do you recall, just a few days ago, 3 days ago, in John chapter 17, Jesus prayed. Now, Jesus prayed for the believers, and this is what he prayed. Listen, you would remember this. Sanctify them in the truth, and your word is the truth. That's what he prayed. Sanctify them, separate them, let them live for the purpose that I set them apart for. Sanctify them by the truth, and your word is the truth. And as you have sent me, Father, into the world, so I have sent them into the world. 3 days ago he prayed, and I believe he's praying now. You know why? Because he's immutable God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He prayed that 3 days before the cross. He stated that 3 days after the resurrection. Now he's praying the same thing for you. Pray that, sanctify them by the truth. And your word is the truth. And just as, Father, you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. John chapter 17 was the prayer before his death. Even right now, on the right throne of God, he's praying. We know that. And he's praying the same prayer, right? Send them into the world, this Jesus-hostile world. When you think about the world that we are living in right now, is this world kind and receiving, and is that kind of world? No. You know it isn't, right? But Jesus knew, and he said, I am sending them into the world. Okay? I believe he's raising up his followers and believers and disciples now. Now. Are you following Jesus? Do you have desire to follow Jesus? Okay? Into this Christ-rejecting, hating world with the same purpose and same mission as that of Jesus coming into this world. Okay, we talked about two topics, and I see the atmosphere of this room. Okay, that's the commission of the resurrected king. Now, that sounds like a daunting task, so challenging. Phew, that's like, that makes me question, can I do that? Will I be able to do that? And Jesus said, absolutely. Okay, that's the last verse, right? I'm sending you, verse 22. When he had said this, right? When he had said this, he breathed on them. Oh, excuse me, okay? Just, what is he doing? What does that remind you of? What is he doing? In the scripture, at least two places comes to my mind. Genesis chapter 2 and Ezekiel 37. In both places, God breathe upon his people. Genesis chapter 2 is when God created men, Adam, out of the dust. And that's what we are made up of, by the way. Okay? If you read Genesis chapter 2, God created men out of the dust, and the word for dust is Adama. Okay? There's a play of words there. His name is Adam, and made out of Adama. So he created a man, Adam, first man, according to his image. But there is no life in him, right? He created with his hands out of the dust in the image of God, but there is no life in him. So what did he do next? He breathed upon that dust. Jesus is doing the same thing, the divine God. Breathe upon you because there's no life unless he breathed upon you. There is no life in you unless the Spirit breathe upon you. And then he says, receive the Holy Spirit. We established this a while ago in John's gospel. Unless the Spirit of God is in you, you are not a true Christian. Romans chapter 8. Those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God, children of God. And I'm not trying to be mean here. What about by all these years of coming to church, teaching Sunday school? I don't know. You ask the Lord, okay? But according to the Word of God, Romans chapter 8, unless the Spirit of God is in you and reigning in you and leading you, you're not a Christian. You're not a sons and daughters of God, right? But Bible makes it very clear, when you truly turn and repent and believe in Jesus' work, which is his death and resurrection, he will give you Spirit so that you'll be able to say, he's my Lord, and you'll be able to live as Jesus being your Lord. You know why you can't? Because perhaps you aren't. Perhaps you aren't. Right? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, only 40 days after his resurrection, on his way to ascension, he tells his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Did you hear it? This is to all Christians. This is to all believers and all followers of Jesus Christ. You will receive power, dunamis, dynamite, power of God. How do we carry out the work of God without the power of God, people? Are you kidding me? He's giving you a daunting task and he's folding his arm and lets you go out and fight and just be killed? No. You know what's happening? We are really becoming a co-laborers with God. This is God's work. This history is God's work. Even pandemic is God's hand. Do you agree? Is pandemic too big for God? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You will receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In other words, when you become a Christian. Only 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit came, just like the prophecy of Joel chapter 2, and all believers. And without the Spirit of God, you will not even consider this as your life mission. You will not. You will live for something else. And you will be my witnesses. Can you picture this? He's about to leave, and he's leaving the disciples behind. That's us. In other words, we are taking the baton, the believers in the church, until he returns, but he's not leaving us on our own, but he's giving his Spirit of Christ. That's why the Spirit of God lead us and guide us, protect us, and care us like a shepherd. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, who is our good shepherd. So what did he do? He acted out a parable kind of thing. Please look at me. I know. I'll try to receive the Holy Spirit. Be a Christian. Repent. Turn to him. Don't play game with the Lord. Don't. Humble yourself. And then look at the next verse, which is really, really daunting. If you separate that verse out of whole context, it may not make any sense. If you forgive the sins of any, whoa, we forgive sins? If we forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven, right? If you withhold the forgiveness of any, it is withheld. Did you look at that verse? And is that true? Right? Without the context, that verse is just, it doesn't make sense. But with the context, it makes sense. Resurrected King of Kings is telling the disciples who will be filled with the Holy Spirit, who will live for the purpose of God, mission of God, and is giving the people authority. Authority. Okay? How does that work? This is how it works. When spirit-filled Christians, hopefully that's what I'm doing, and if you would listen to me, tell about Jesus, his word, his gospel, and his person, and his work. And if you truly turn and repent, your sins will be forgiven. If you do not, okay, as I tell you about Jesus, his work, his person, his gospel, if you do not listen, no matter who you are, your sin will be remain on you. That's the authority that Jesus has given to his believers, disciples, and the church. It has been given to you as well. Okay? Forgiveness of sins is by the disciples. Is that true? It's absolutely true, people. Absolutely true. Are you free from sin? Or are you just wallowing in sin right now? Do you feel freedom or do you feel fearful? It doesn't matter what your status is. It doesn't matter where you are, what accomplishment of life you may be in. It does not matter. It's not going to impress God. That's not going to impress God, people. There are so many smart people in this world. There are so many people who have accomplished so much in this world. But there is no partiality in God if you would just repent, truly repent. Okay? When we share Jesus, his gospel, his word, and his person, which is what I'm doing, hopefully you're hearing it. And if you respond with true turning and repentance and faith in him, right? Then I could confidently declare that through the power of his word and the spirit and the truth, your sins are forgiven. If not, it remains on you. It doesn't matter how active you are. It doesn't matter what kind of family you are from. It doesn't matter what status of life you may be in. It does not matter. But if you truly humble yourself and repent before the Lord. I just want to close with a final thought. We just considered what I consider the real crux of Christianity. I don't know where you are. And this changed my life 35 years ago. And I'm speaking to, you know, my friends and sons and daughters. I talk to you with that kind of heart. You have a whole life ahead of you. And we talked about, what purpose are you going to live for? Is there a purpose? It begins with peace with God. Unless you have peace with God, man, you're going to have a long life to struggle. Especially if you plan to just continue to come to church. You just have a long life of struggle. Because you're not going to have peace. Right? Once you have peace with God, I think the purpose and the commission and the mission is very, very clear. Just as my Father has sent me, I am sending you. I don't think that's complicated. I don't think that's very, difficult to figure out. Whatever the purpose God sent his son is your purpose. I don't think that's difficult. And you may be thinking, can I do that? And God says, yes, because receive the Holy Spirit. I'll be with you. I'm going to be doing the work if you would just humble yourself and submit to me. Okay. Last time, we said resurrection demands your repentance. I know you don't like that kind of statement, but that's what the scripture says. Acts chapter 17, when Paul preached at Athens, the epicenter of that Greco-Roman world at his time, he said, God commands all men everywhere to repent because God has set a day that he will judge the world. Okay? I know I've been saying this, and you may be thinking, Pastor, why do you talk about that all the time? Because without that, you will never cling on to Christ. You will play game with Christ all the time. Right? You're not going to hold on to Christ. God has set the judgment day. Right? And so he's commanding. God is commanding. He's not begging you. He's not pleading with you. He's commanding all people everywhere to repent with no conditions attached, because he will judge the world with resurrected Jesus. Resurrected Jesus. Okay? We talked about that. Resurrection demands your true repentance. No strings attached. No, like, bargaining. No. No, don't do that. But today, I want to give you another paradigm statement. Resurrection of Jesus demands one purpose in life. One purpose in life. Resurrection of Jesus demands one life mission and purpose in life. One life purpose. One life mission. Not somewhere in between. Not bargaining. You'll be a fool if you do. That's what I said when I met the Lord after my college years on my way to dental school. That's when he called me. And when he kind of opened up that vision, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, I said to the Lord, Lord, I surrender everything. I don't care whether I live as a dentist or not. It doesn't matter. But I want to live for you. If I don't, I got to be the greatest fool. This is what I said to the Lord. You don't have to say that. Because that's what I believed and still believe. I got to be the greatest fool if I don't live for you. If that verse and the gospel is true. So would you use me? That's 35 years ago, people. And I love to talk about this story. And if you ask me, do you feel the same 35 years later? And I will say to you without any hesitation, I feel stronger. Stronger. If I live for anything else, I got to be the greatest fool. Okay? Just as Father has sent me, I am sending you. I am sending you. In other words, the Lord's mission is my mission if you are in Christ Jesus. Let's pray.